بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. I hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us over the course of these days with all His blessings, with the best of His blessings, that He has blessed His great servants. And we'd like to share what the Imam also is receiving as blessings. On the 13th day of the month of Ramadan, what we've been taught as a dua reads as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma tahhirni fihi min ad-danas wal-aqdar wa sabbirni fihi ala kainat al-aqdar ووفقني فيه للتقى وصحبة الأبرار بعونك يا قرة عين المساكين. We say, O Allah, purify me in this month من الدنس والأقذار, from the filth that I am in, spiritual filth. Spiritual filth comes with the sins that we commit. We have desires, we have temptations. Those desires and temptations are not filth. Those desires and temptations deserve to be controlled. They need to be controlled. When we don't control them, they get us in doing and bringing about that filth. On our hearts, the darkness, the layer of dust that starts to cover our heart and light doesn't penetrate us and penetrate our hearts. Ad-danas wal-aqdar. Allah, help us. Now, what is the meaning of this? Maybe a full meaning of it. Maybe the first thing that comes to mind is I've already covered my heart with filth through the actions that I have performed. And what I'm asking is, God, forgive what I have done. That can be a meaning of this, but it seems to be more than that. When we repent and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, He will forgive, right? There's no question about it. He forgives. All we have to do is ask. Sometimes people ask, how can I know my tawbah is accepted? If what you mean by that is that your sins are forgiven, the wrong that you've done, that part of it is forgiven, that you can know. If you actually ask God, if you're really asking Him to forgive you, and not just saying those words, astaghfirullah, and not even knowing what you're talking about, if we really are asking, seriously asking, we can be sure and certain that He has forgiven us. There's not much that we need to do to be forgiven. Actually, according to hadith, it says, kafa bin nadmi tawbah. Regret is enough to be considered tawbah. You don't even have to ask. If you feel regretful of what you did, of the sin that you committed, that's enough. God sees that, He forgives you. Right? However, that's not actually removing the filth from the heart. The filth is still there. The punishment is removed. I won't be punished from that, for the act that I did. But the filth is there. I need to clean it up. Another word we can use is scar. It leaves a scar on our heart, the effect of that, the sin, especially if it's ongoing or continuously, every day, every other day, every third day, and so on and so forth. We're committing this sin, And every day we're committing a number of other sins, and it's just piling up. These start leaving very deep scars on our heart. And there's a thick layer of dust that forms and starts to solidify, and it starts to affect the heart, and the heart starts to turn rock solid. That filth that is covering the heart, that is not removed simply by just asking God to forgive. It's taken time. We have developed these into habits. Now, just saying, God forgive me, yes, the punishment is gone, but it's not going to remove the scars. You know what the sign of that is? The sign is, because I'm so used to it, I said, God forgive me, but an hour later I'm going to get involved with the same sin. I'll do the same exact thing over again, and over again, and over again. That means the effect is not gone. The filth is there. Oh Allah, help me get rid of that. Purify my heart. As we mentioned a number of times, these du'as, these supplications, this request, God, purify me, for example, it's good to ask that. We need to ask that. This is a first step, but this is not enough. Just asking verbally, just feeling that I really need it, is not enough. It's necessary. It's great, but it's not enough. What is required? Action is required. If you really want to be purified, you got to clean it up. God has given you the tools to clean it up. The tools of cleaning it up are abstaining from sin. Avoid it. You've done it all your life up to this point. You're asking God to help you. I want to be purified. Well, take action. Take action. Don't keep adding on to the filth. Stop doing that and get involved with something that cleans it and cleanses it. Dhikr of Allah, prayer. These cleanse the heart. Crying for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, it cleanses the heart. Do and use these cleansers and stop piling up further filth. Eventually it'll get cleaned up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. Allahumma tahhirni fi min ad-danas wal-aqdar. Wasabbirni fi ala ka'inat al-aqdar. This passage here, this request here, is a bit more advanced, brothers and sisters. Usually what we are struggling with is just simply trying to avoid sin and fulfill obligations. Right. But what we're saying here is, God, give me patience to be patient with your taqdeer, with your qadar. These are different words that are used in our ahadith, in verses. We have aqdar, the plural of qadar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously has a plan in this world. And as he says in the Holy Quran, وَمَا نَزَّلْنَاهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ. Everything, عِنْدَهُ خَزَائِن. He has the source of everything that you see in the world. And it's descending and coming down as rain, as shower of mercy. But it's coming in portions, in decided portions, taqdeer. What comes down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way things play out, is, for example, going to mean that today I'm going to have this much money, and that I will have these needs, and I will not have a lot more, and maybe 2 years down the line I will have that. The taqdeer that he has is that me having a nice car and a nice house and this and that maybe is 2 years down the line. It's not now. The taqdeer, for example, of me marrying a spouse that is fulfilling a spouse that is satisfying, a spouse that is a true believer, and I am attracted to them, that taqdeer is not for now, it's 2 months down the line, it's 3 months down the line, it's a year or two down the line. He has everything portioned out, and they're going to happen in the sequence that he has set for them. It's the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to understand. Now, sometimes we want something right now and today, and when we don't get it, we're very impatient. Why isn't God giving me this? Why this? Why that? Not only asking these questions, but getting really frustrated, and we take it out on our spouse, on our children, on other people. We get frustrated. I want something now, like a baby. I want something now, and if I don't get it, I start whining. A believer that's grown out of this, has matured as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to use this, I think it's a good metaphor for us to understand this. A child wants, for example, chocolate 24/7. The parent knows that chocolate for the child 24/7 is very, very devastating from a physical perspective. It'll have a very negative impact on the health of this child. And so they have the chocolate stored, and they give it to the child in portions that will give the child the joy of having that chocolate and the benefit, if any, in that chocolate, but it will not give them the harm. It will not harm them. So they keep whining, they keep asking, give it to me, they cry, they throw a fit. A bad parent would be one that against the good of the child and what's good for them, they take out that chocolate and they give it to them. They give it to the demand of the child, and they don't give it to them when it's good for the child. A good parent is one that is able to calm the child down, be able to take their cry and them throwing a fit, be patient with that, and get them busy with something else maybe, and at the right time give them that chocolate at the right and the right amount as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has portioned everything out in the best way that it can possibly be, that we cannot even fathom. And I, as an immature child, that's my spiritual state, unfortunately, I want something right now, right this second. If I don't get it, I get really impatient. I start complaining, I start doing things, I start tearing things down. What we're asking here is a bit more advanced. We're saying, God, give me the patience for what is going to come in portions at the right time that you have set for it. True believers develop that. Whatever God gives, they're content with that. If they feel they need something and God is not giving it to them, they're patient for it, with it. Of course, this doesn't mean that if I feel that there is a need that I have, I don't take any steps towards it. Or as soon as I hit an obstacle, think, oh, maybe it's not meant. No, we don't make those decisions. If I feel that I need a certain amount of funds to live my life, I have the responsibility of following through with that understanding, going and working, finding a job to try to get that. But if while I'm doing that, it's not happening, that's when I realize, okay, I'm trying and I'm going to continue trying, but he doesn't want me, he hasn't willed for me at this moment to have that. So I should be patient. I should be patient. But if I still realize or feel that, no, my responsibility is to continue searching for a type of job that is going to give me that amount of funds and finances. I gotta work harder, I gotta try to give it, But as long as not God is not giving it to me, I realize that that portion is not portioned out for me right now, and I should be patient with it. It doesn't prevent me from doing what's right and what my knowledge tells me is right, regardless of whether or not in reality is right. I have to work based on my understanding, based on my level of intellect. But when it's not happening, I am patient, I don't throw fits, I don't take it out on others, my children, my wife, my family members, and so on and so forth. صَبِّرْنِي فِي عَلَى كَائِنَاتِ الْأَقْدَارِ وَوَفِّقْنِي فِي لِلتُّقَى. Allah, help me succeed in التُّقَى. التُّقَى is another variation of the concept or the word taqwa. It means, obviously, the same. It has the same meaning of taqwa, which means avoiding sin, fulfilling obligations as the first step, of course. Beyond that, there's levels beyond that, but that's the bare minimum. Allah, wafiqni lit-tuqa. I need His tawfiq, Him to help me carry that out. If God's tawfiq is not there, we're not going to be able to do it. And it's interesting, he puts two things together in this passage of the dua. وَفِقْنِي فِيهِ لِلتُّقَى, by having taqwa, وَصُحْبَةِ الْأَبْرَارِ, and accompanying the righteous. I think there's a relationship between these two concepts that have been put together and we're asking in one passage. If we want real صُحْبَةُ الْأَبْرَارِ, there's a time where we accompany righteous people in this world. When we accompany them physically in this world. But brothers and sisters, in the hereafter, we don't have that option. You can only accompany the righteous if you are a righteous person. If you have developed a tuqa, if you have been able to implement taqwa. That's the only time where you can come close and be in the company of the righteous. If I'm not righteous myself, if I have not implemented taqwa, in this world I can hang around them, I can be around them, but in the hereafter I'm not going to be able to do that. Therefore, real suhbah and companionship is something that comes through behavior and through building the soul to be one of those that can be spiritually close to them. And the spiritual closeness to the righteous is going to manifest in the hereafter. In this world, no, it doesn't show. What you see is that the worst person, Shimr ibn Dil Jawshan, was with Amir al-Mu'mineen in Siffin. In this world, you can have that. Ash'ath ibn Qais al-Kindi, the dirtiest hypocrite that lived probably at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, goes around Amir al-Mu'mineen, he spends time with him. This world, that's how things are. The realities do not show themselves. They're all covered up with material life. But in the hereafter, it manifests. You just can't. If you're not righteous, if you haven't developed tuqa, you can't be around the abrar, the righteous. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that. We ask Him to give it to us. Bi'awnik. Again, we have this word. We had it in... We're on the 11th day as well. And today we're also having it. بِعَوْنِكَ. God is the one that assists. And we're asking Him through that attribute of Him. But then it follows up in the way we address God, not the attribute, the way we address Him. We use an attribute as an intermediary, something that we intercede through, or we request intercession, but then we call Him with a certain attribute. And what we're calling Him is Ya Qurrata Ayn al Masakin. Qurratul Ayn is something that brings joy to the eyes. In other words, when you're really happy the way your eyes look, when you see a very enjoyable scene, that's Qurratul Ayn. And it basically means that, like in this case, قُرَّةُ or يَا قُرَّةَ عَيْنِ الْمَسَاكِينَ, when the miskeen, the poor, when they see someone that has helped them out and is constantly helping them out every time he comes, his smile, his enjoyable company, what he brings with him, the comfort he gives, the love he shows. As soon as the poor see this man, it just puts a smile on their face and their eyes are filled with joy. That's the meaning of Qurratul Ayn. And we're calling God, Ya Qurrata Ayn al-Masakeen. We're considering ourselves Masakeen here, which we actually are. Antumul Fuqara ila Allah. All of us are in need of God. All of us are needy. The only one that has anything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are Masakeen. If we really realize that aspect of us, that we are Masakeen, and realize that He's the one that gives us love, despite us not deserving it. He's the one that gives us sustenance, despite us not really deserving it. He's the one that gives us all of these things. Just thinking of Him, remembering Him, should put a smile on our face, and the eyes should have that sight of being filled with joy. Ya Allah, Ya Qurrata Aynil Masakeen. We ask Him, as He is truly Ayn. Qurratu Ayn al-Masakeen, we being the Masakeen, we ask Him by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to provide us with all these great things that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us to ask for in this dua. Walhamdulillah.